Sai Ram children, welcome to yet another episode of Children's Hour on Radio Sai.
Sai Ram children, hope you all had a joy-filled week.
Or was it a tensed one with your exams around the corner? Oh, don't worry children. Swami says, you do your best, God will do the rest. So, all of you have to do is study hard, study sincerely. Rest, Swami will take care.
You can look forward to your vacations, but let that not distract you, alright? Do your exams well, so you can have a blast during your vacations. But imagine, Ganesh, if there were no exams at all, how do you think that would be?
Oh my God, it will be fun! No exams to be worried about.
But tell me, when we would have exams, how anxiously we would wait for our vacations.
Oh, we would long for the vacation to start.
And do you remember the time we would come out of that last exam? How exciting we would be.
Oh yes, I remember that excitement very well. In fact, sometimes I miss that excitement and joy.
Exactly. That excitement was the result of the exams, in fact. So children, though we all tend to enjoy vacations and sometimes even dislike the exams, remember our vacations actually become sweeter because of the struggle we go through during the exams.
So, whenever a test or exam comes our way, we must welcome it happily. Just like how if we keep eating sweets, we will sometimes not be able to enjoy it.
So children, work hard as the exams approach. Take them on confidently and sportively. Then you can really have a lot of fun when you enjoy your vacations.
But children, there is one important thing you should keep in mind while studying. You should ensure that you focus on studying and you are not doing multiple things at the same time.
Oh yes, that is a very important point. In fact, you remember last week our doctor spoke about the most important organ, the human brain. She is going to continue this even today on the same topic, and one of the important points she is telling us is this very aspect of one-pointedness and focus.
Oh, is it concentration, Prem?
Oh yes, it's almost, you remember a story of concentration we heard last week?
This is going to
be an extension of that.
Yes, and do you remember last week we had mentioned that one child wrote to us about asking how one can put on some weight.
Right.
What one must eat if one wants to add some healthy body weight. So, Dr. Lata from the General Hospital is going to answer that too. So, shall we listen to her?
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, today we shall continue our discussion on the human brain. It is a well-known fact that our modern lifestyle has a significant role to play in the decline of three very important higher functions of the brain, namely cognition, memory and sleep. That is why exposure of the body to toxins, chemicals, poor diet, lack of sleep and also stress can hinder these functions of the brain. The flip side of this is also true, which means a healthy lifestyle can support the health of the brain. It even encourages the brain to grow neurons by a process called neurogenesis. Last week, I spoke to you about sleep hygiene. Today, we shall deal with yet another higher function of the brain, that is cognition. Cognition is a combination of integrating a variety of sensory inputs received through the five sense organs and then generating a thought that guides our speech and actions. Actually, the brain can attend to only one cognitive task at a time. Some people boast of their ability to multitask. Actually speaking, the word multitasking is a misnomer. It is actually rapidly switching tasks. Say for example, your exams are underway, you have a book in your hand and you're browsing through your lessons. But at the same time, your favorite World Cup cricket match is also going on. So in between your studies, you just look up to the TV screen to catch up with the score. This is not multitasking. This is actually rapidly switching tasks. It is documented that if you keep on switching tasks in a day, in 24 hours of time, your productivity is reduced by 40%, which is quite significant. And not only this, the task itself becomes complex because it causes confusion in the brain. So you tend to commit more errors and the time taken to complete the task is also much more than is usually necessary. So children, it is important that you focus your attention on something and do it properly. This is called ekagrata or single-pointed focus. Sumana Madam last week told you about the importance of concentration. You should always remember and practice and you should strive to develop concentration. Hope you all remember all that I told you about the overuse and the abuse of eyes. The same thing applies to the brain also. Too much of screen time damages not only the eyes but the brain as well. Studies have shown that internet addiction is known to cause structural and functional changes in the regions of the brain that deal with emotions, attention, cognitive control, and also decision making. These days, children suffer from an entity called electronic screen syndrome. This is due to sensory overload on the brain and lack of restorative sleep. The nervous system is always in a hyper-aroused state because of this overload, and this syndrome mainly results from excessive TV viewing and using computer for long times, playing video games, computer games. Children who suffer from this syndrome tend to become moody easily. They lose focus and attention on the things that they ought to be doing as responsible students. Over a period of time, this electronic screen syndrome becomes a chronic stress for the brain and it produces certain long-term functional changes in the brain, causing anxiety, depression, and behavioral disorders. So children, you must learn to stay focused on your goal and not get distracted. You must learn to avoid cluttering your brain with unwanted sensory inputs, which means a strict no to all those worthless, unwanted programs you watch endlessly on the television, playing computer games, and also using social network sites for a long time like this Facebook, Twitter and so on. Especially during examination time when you have got a lot to study, the ideal way to rest your brain is by taking short walks. Having a shower with warm water will also refresh your brain. Brief sessions of silent sitting and meditation also helps. And skipping your meals during exam times or otherwise will not help at all. It will deprive your brain of the essential glucose. So children, from a very young age, you should learn constructive habits. You should follow certain things called higher physical pursuits, higher emotional pursuits, higher intellectual pursuits, and finally, higher spiritual pursuits from a very young age. Some of the higher physical pursuits include exercise, playing outdoor games, gymnastics, yogasanas, athletics. Higher emotional pursuits include music, playing instruments, poetry, literature, and also fine arts. Higher intellectual pursuits are developing keen interest in science, technology and philosophy. And finally, higher spiritual pursuits are nothing but undertaking simple but very efficient spiritual sadhanas like chanting the name of God, which is called Namasmarana, bhajan singing, and regular prayers as soon as you get up in the morning, saying your food prayers, your bedtime prayers, chanting the Gayatri Mantra while taking bath and also before you start your studies. These are all simple spiritual practices that will help you. So children, on the whole, you don't need a magical, expensive prescription medication to boost your brain. All you need is to follow these do's and don'ts to keep your brain healthy. See, if we analyze the cognition aspect of the brain, we understand that thought is the most important thing. We should always entertain pure thoughts, good thoughts, positive thoughts and constructive thoughts. Swami says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And sow a character, reap a destiny. So our destiny is determined by the type of thoughts that we entertain. Remember children, yad bhavam tad bhavati, they become what we think. This is all for today about the human brain. And now to answer the question that was asked last week, how to put on weight. The body weight is mostly, you know, determined by genetic constitution. And also as young children, in the growing age, you will be expending a lot of calories every day through various activities. So that is why you usually don't tend to put on weight. However, it is necessary that you eat good, nutritional, wholesome diet and do justice to all your meals, breakfast, lunch and dinner. Every meal should be balanced with carbohydrates, proteins, fats, minerals, and also vitamins. So you must include a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables in your regular everyday diet. However, if you want to add some extra kilograms to your weight, you can try some of these tips. You should consume high calorie, good carbs and proteins. Some of these foods are various kinds of nuts like almonds, pista, walnut, peanuts. They are all very good for weight gain. You can soak a few badams in the night, overnight, and then eat the same thing in the morning. And milk products like ghee, paneer, butter, cheese, all this will help you to put on weight. And having apple and banana milkshake every day topped up with raisins and dates is excellent for weight gain. And adding coconut milk to all the gravies and curries that we make every day is also a good way to increase your weight. And taking lots of fruit juices in between the meals is also very good. So children, you should know all these cannot be a substitute for your regular meals. Apart from your meals, in between the meals, instead of snacking on chips, pizzas, burgers, cola, the kinds of foods which only add to your fat and not good calories, you can use these snacks for weight gain. Jai Sar.
So, wasn't that interesting and important, children?
There is nothing like multitasking, so. We all tend to do this mistake, don't we? We eat, watch TV and study at the same time. I'm sure all of us would have done this at some time or the other. And in the process, we don't do any of them properly.
That is why it is said, study while you study, play while you play, eat while you have to eat, and sleep while you sleep. Having focus is very, very important.
And that is especially true for learning. If you can concentrate, you can learn your subject in a very short time. If you're distracted, it will take longer, and what you retain in memory will also be very limited.
But children, You don't have to take our word for it. In fact, some of these things you can try for yourself. You observe how quickly you can learn a lesson if you focus. So, you can understand the importance of some of these techniques from your own experience.
There is one more very important aspect about learning, children. See, you all are bright kids. You will be learning so many things in life every day. New facts about how things work, new technology. You must be acquiring new talents like singing, dancing, and playing games and so on. But along with all this learning, you must also cultivate what is called humility.
Oh yes, that is the most important thing. You should never let the feeling, oh, I know so much, or I am so talented and great. It just creeps into your heads. My God, if you feel you have learnt a lesson better than one of your friends or classmates, immediately you should not make that person feel small or less intelligent. Instead, you should try to help that friend.
In fact, the best way to learn a lesson is by explaining it to a friend. You can help your friend and you can understand the lesson better too. And when you understand this, when you teach your friend, you will automatically be humble because you are gaining the process, right?
So, you will be grateful to that friend. So, humility is very, very important. That is why it is said in Sanskrit, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Education must gift you with humility.
Also, children, if you are humble, you will be able to be more receptive to learn new things in life. In fact, that's exactly what we are going to hear about in the story segment today.
That is sure, it will be interesting. And also, this is a story from the life of a very interesting character in Indian history and legend. So children, over now to Sumana Madam for the story of the week.
Sairam children, today I shall tell you a comic tale of Tenali Ramakrishna, who was popularly known as Tenali Rama. He was a court poet of Emperor Krishnadevaraya, who ruled over Vijayanagara Empire from 1509 to 1529. He was known for his wit and impressive poetry written in Telugu language. Tenali Ramakrishna was born in a village in Andhra state. He was a very carefree child. From morning till night, he was in the company of naughty boys. So he never went to school. He remained an illiterate. Then, how did he become a great poet? One day, Ramakrishna met a sadhu who advised him to pray to Mother Kali. He gave him a mantra and told him, chant it 11 crore and 11 times. Ramakrishna did as advised and very sincerely. And so, as soon as he had completed the repetition of the mantra 11 crore and 11 times, Mother Kali suddenly appeared. She was seated on a lion. She looked terrifying with 1,000 fierce faces and 1,000 flaming tongues and 1,000 pairs of burning eyes. On seeing the goddess, Ramakrishna was not frightened. He touched her feet and then burst out laughing. The goddess was very much surprised. She had expected that the boy would be terrified when he saw her. She ordered him to explain what made him laugh. Ramakrishna replied, Mother, when I saw you with 1,000 faces, but only 2 hands, I remembered something and so I could not control my laughter. Pray, forgive me, Mother. Now, Kalika Devi's curiosity was roused. She ordered him to explain what he had remembered that made him laugh. So Ramakrishna explained, Divine Mother, when we catch cold, we feel that 2 hands are insufficient to wipe our only nose. And if you catch cold, will your 2 hands be enough to wipe your 1,000 noses? This thought made me laugh. Forgive me, I have been impudent. So saying, Ramakrishna again fell at her feet. Now, the goddess burst out laughing. The smile, the innocence and the sense of humor of the boy had pleased her. She blessed him to attain fame as a great jester and make people laugh. She asked him to go to a famous Vijayanagara empire in the south. Here, he pleased the king with his humor and courage and was appointed as the court poet. That is how he mastered all learnings and became the famous humorist. Today, let me tell you a very funny incident which took place in the Vijayanagara Empire. Once, there came a great scholar to King Krishnadevaraya's court. He claimed that no one could challenge the knowledge he possessed. Everything there was to know, he knew, and all that he didn't know wasn't knowledge. He challenged all the learned scholars from the royal court to discuss any topic in debate with him. So it became a tedious matter before the royal court. As his fame was well known, none of the royal scholars dared to accept the challenge. Finally, they got an idea. The scholars went to Tenali Raman and pleaded for help. Tenali Raman agreed to help them, and a date was fixed for the debate. On the appointed day, Tenali Raman arrived at the royal court. He was disguised as a learned scholarly priest, and under one of his arms, he held a large bundle, and that bundle looked like it contained voluminous books. Soon, the proud, great scholar entered the court. He sat opposite the priest. The priest bowed to the king, took the bundle from under his arm and placed it between himself and that scholar. Then they sat down for debate. The king knew that Tenali Raman as a priest surely had some plan in mind. The king declared that the debate must begin. Tenali Raman, disguised as the priest, stood up and said, "Learned sir, I have heard much about you. For a great scholar like you, I have brought this great and rare book on which we will debate now." The scholar gave a mocking smile and said, "Okay, name the book, for I have read every book and know of all." Then Tenali Raman humbly said, "Learned sir, the book is called Tilakashta Mahisha Bandhana." "What?" The scholar was silently surprised. In all his life of gaining knowledge, he had never heard of any book with such a title. Tilakashta Mahisha Bandhana. Now he was scared. He was scared to debate on a book he had never read or even heard of. But he had boasted so much, now he dared spoil his image. So he said, "Oh, that's a very rare book indeed. It's been so many years since I have read it. I have a copy too. Let me read it tonight, as I have forgotten many points in it. Tomorrow, surely tomorrow, we will debate on it, after I have refreshed my memory." Tenali Raman agreed to this very easily. But that night, the scholar fled the city as he feared humiliation. He was sure to lose the debate. Next morning, when the scholar failed to come in the royal court, Tenali Raman said, "Your Majesty, the scholar will not come. I am sure he has left the city." King Krishnadevaraya was very curious. He asked, "Tenali, tell me now about this rare book you wanted to debate upon. Even I haven't heard about this book." Tenali Ramakrishna smiled. "Your Majesty, actually there is no such book. I had named it Tilakashta Mahisha Bandhana. In this, the title word Tilakashta means dried sticks of sesame or til seeds. And Mahisha Bandhana, you know, It means a rope used to tie a buffalo. Mahisha is buffalo and Bandana is a rope to tie the buffalo. The bundle I was carrying were actually dried sesame sticks and I had tied them with a rope used to tie the buffalo. And the entire bundle I had wrapped it with silk, so it looked like a bundle of books. Hearing this, the king and the courtiers burst into laughter. The king was so impressed, he rewarded Tenali Raman. He had solved their problem. So children, wasn't that a very witty story? But it carries a big message. We should not be boastful because we can get trapped in that very false image we build of ourselves. And soon our ignorance could be exposed. Instead, we should be open to learning and dare to say we don't know. We don't know yet and ask questions. Only then can we be good students and learn more. Now it's time to move on with the program. Sai Ram to all the young listeners.
It is always interesting to hear Tenali Raman stories, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. Tenali Raman and Akbar Birbal stories are my favorite stories.
Mine too.
Let's hope, children, Sumana Madam tells us more such interesting stories in the weeks to come.
So we are done with the doctor's talk and the storytelling too. So what now, Ganesh?
How about playing a children's drama that was staged in Swami's presence?
That sounds interesting. But what is the title of the drama and who staged it?
This is a drama by children from the state of Gujarat. And the title of the drama is, The Child is the Father of Man.
Oh, I remember that drama. I think it was staged sometime in 2010. And the title, The Child is the Father of Man. Do you know, children, whose words are those? What about you, Ganesh?
Isn't it from a poem written by Sir William Wordsworth?
Exactly. It is from a poem called My Heart Leaps Up. And I think it was about how he would enjoy rainbows when he was a small child. And do you know, children, what is the meaning of the line, the child is the father of man? It means what you learn and imbibe when you are a child is what you carry with you when you grow up. So, the child is the father of man.
Well, that sounds very interesting. And this drama is quite interesting too. It is about a small boy who is very confused about the ways of adults. Why they complicate lives, run after things in life.
I am sure our children will be able to relate to that. I am sure you children must be finding some of the things we do very, very silly, don't you? So, shall we listen to that drama, children? Let's see what happens to this little boy and his fascinating quest about adults.
Krish, beta Krish, please wake up. Beta, please wake up. Krish, wake up. Here's your milk. And see, your breakfast is on the dining table. And lunch is in the fridge. Oh my God, I'm already late. Listen, Gangubai will come at 9 o'clock. Ask her to warm up the food for you, okay? Get ready for school. Remember, today is your first day at the new school. The bus will come here sharp at 10:30.
Mom, don't worry. I will take care.
I know. You're such a darling. Oh, it's already 7:05. I would surely miss my 7:30 local. Where is your dad now? I'm sure he's still in the bath. He's such a slow coach.
Hello. I'm no slow coach. I'm up and about since 5. You were the one who overslept.
Enough. I'm fed up of you. You always insult me. Now, are you coming or not?
Coming. Okay, Sunny, be good. Time for Dad to go. See you tonight. And remember to close the door after me. Bye.
Bye, Dad.
Are you coming or not?
Coming, Baba.
Grown-ups are really a confused lot.
Oh, you're early today.
Have I and Baba left?
Yes, just now only. Shall I call Dad? He must be in the lift.
Noko. No need. I just came to say I will not be able to work today. You see, one of my uncles died. So, beta, you will have to be on your own today, huh? I know you can manage very well. Beta, main to jaati ha?
Okay, bye.
Are o Ganpat! Thaam me ete!
Yet another grown-up. I have 3 hours to myself. I think I'm going to complete reading this book today. The Little Prince. He's one person who seems sensible to me. And his observation about grown-ups is so right.
He says, grown-ups love figures. If you were to tell the grown-ups, I saw a beautiful house made of rosy bricks with roses in the windows and doves on the roof, they would not be able to get any idea of that house at all. You would have to say to them, I saw a house that cost 40 lakhs. Then they would exclaim, oh, what a pretty house that is. They are like that. One must not hold it against them. Children should always show great forbearance towards grown-up people.
Little Krish dozes off while reading, and in his dream, he sees himself in place of the little prince and visits various people on different planets, cocooned in their own worlds.
Is a subject.
Subject? How could he recognize me when he has never seen me before?
Approach, so that I may see you better.
Sir, who are you? What work do you do?
How foolish! Can't you see? I am the king. I don't work. I make others work for me.
King? Sir, over what do you rule?
Don't address me as sir. You should say, your royal highness. And I rule over everything. I am an absolute monarch. The planets, the stars, the galaxies, they all obey my orders.
Wow! Sir, I mean your highness, I should like to see a sunset. Please order the sun to set.
Ah! A sunset. Let me see. Even I would like that. But you see, I should not make unreasonable demands from my subjects.
My sunset?
Oh, your sunset. I shall certainly order the sun to set when conditions are favorable, and you will see how promptly the sun obeys me.
When will that be?
Yeah, it is. It says at 6:06 today evening is the right time for me to order the sun to set, and you will see how well I am obeyed.
I would like to go.
No, you cannot go. You are the first subject I have had in many years. Well, let us see. I will make you the Minister of Justice.
Minister of Justice? But there is nobody here for me to judge.
Then, you will judge yourself. That is the most difficult thing to do.
But I can judge myself wherever I am. So please order me to go.
Okay. I order you to go as my ambassador.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The grown-ups are very strange. Good morning. That is a hat you are wearing?
It is a hat to raise in salute when people admire me. But unfortunately, nobody at all ever passes this way. So you admire me.
How?
Admire me.
How?
Okay, let us see. Clap your hands. Come on, yes, clap your hands, clap your hands, yes, come on, clap your hands, come on, yes, clap your hands, clap, 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 yeah!
What does that mean? Admire?
To admire means that you regard me as the handsomest, the best dressed, the richest, and the most intelligent man on this planet.
But you are the only man on your planet.
Do me this kindness. Admire me just the same. Yes, just the same. Yes, just the same. Just the same.
Okay, okay, okay. I admire you. But I wonder, what is there in that to interest you so much? The grown-ups are certainly very odd. Good morning.
Shh. 15 and 7 makes 22. Good morning. 22 and 6 makes 28. 28 and 5 makes 33. Phew. Then that makes 501,622,000s, 700s and 33.
501 million what?
Hey, are you still there? 501 million. I can't stop. I have so much to do. 2 and 5 makes 7.
501 million what?
Oh, those little golden objects in the sky?
Beads?
Oh no, tiny twinkling glittering objects that set lazy men dreaming.
Ah, you mean the stars?
Yes, that's it, stars. Twinkle, twinkle little stars.
And what do you do with 501 million stars?
What do I do with them? Why? Of course I own them.
And what good is it to you to own the stars?
It makes me rich. It makes it possible for me to buy more stars when they are discovered.
How is it possible to own stars?
To whom do they belong?
They belong to nobody.
Then they belong to me, for I was the first one to think of it.
Is that all that is necessary?
Yes.
Okay, but what do you do with them?
I count and recount them and put them in a bank.
What does that mean?
It means I write the number of the stars on a piece of paper and put it in a drawer under lock and key. Understand?
I myself own a plant. I water it every day. It is of some use to my plant that I own it. But you are of no use to your stars. Oh, but where is he? Hello? Hello? Twinkle, twinkle, little stars. Hello? Good morning, sir. Why have you just put out your lamp?
Those are the orders.
What are the orders?
The orders are that I put out my lamp. Good evening.
Why have you lighted it again?
Those are the orders.
I do not understand.
There is nothing to understand. Orders are orders. I have too much to do. Don't disturb me.
Of all the grown-ups I met, this one seemed to be the best. For he thought of something other than himself. And he was doing something useful, like lighting the street lamp, brightening the way for others. But he could not think or reason. Well, nothing or no one is perfect. What is that big book? What are you doing?
I am a geographer.
What is a geographer?
Don't you know? A geographer is a scholar who knows the location of all seas, rivers, towns, mountains, and deserts.
That is very interesting. And your planet is very beautiful. Has it any mountains?
I don't know.
Any rivers?
I don't know.
Any towns, deserts, seas?
That also, I don't know.
But you're a geographer.
Yes, exactly. I am a geographer, not an explorer. You see, I note down what explorers tell me. I also expect them to get some proof of the place they have discovered.
Do you mean to say that you have never been to the places you write about?
Yes, I mean. No. I have never gone anywhere. But wait a minute. You seem to be an explorer. Tell me, what have you seen?
Well, maybe I am an explorer. I am looking for a soul mate.
Well, that sounds very philosophical. And I could never understand such matters.
Not one of them seems to have any clarity. Each one is lost in his own little selfish world. Please, God, find me a true friend, someone who'd really understand me.
Oh, the story is quite interesting so far. What a fascinating dream.
But did Krish get the friend and companion he was looking for?
And if he did find the friend, what did he learn from him?
And how did the whole dream end? Oh, that's a lot of questions. But we have to listen to the rest of the drama for that.
Then what are we waiting for? Let's listen to the rest of the drama.
Sure.
Krish, my child, do not lament us. God alone is your true friend, and He is everywhere at all times. I am sending your soulmate very soon.
Hello, who are you?
You must be Krish.
Yes, I am called Krish, and who are you?
I am Girdhar.
But I have a question, my friend. I wonder who I really am. How do you know me?
I am your soulmate. And then you might also be wondering from where you have come, what is the purpose of life?
Oh yes, how do you know?
It is only with a heart that one can see rightly what is essential is invisible to the eye.
You are right. But you are the first person who seems to really understand me.
Krish, my brother, as I said earlier, I am the soulmate you are looking for. Krishna Bhagwan sent me to you.
Who? Krishna Bhagwan? You mean Sri Krishna, as in the Mahabharata?
Yes.
Can I also meet him? Where can I meet him? Will he answer my questions?
Of course you can meet him. It is very easy to meet him, for he is everywhere at all times, and he doesn't make you wait. He is beyond time and space. All you need to do is call out to him sincerely with faith.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kaliyuga Nachiketas, you having questions?
Bhagwan, Krish has a few questions.
Okay, but you answer my questions first.
Sure, Bhagwan.
What is your name?
Bhagwan, this body is called Girdhar.
Who are your parents?
Tvameva matashcha pita tvameva. Tvameva bandushcha sakha tvameva. Tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva.
Good boy. Where did you come from?
From you, Bhagwan.
Oh, from me?
Yes, Bhagwan. The whole world comes from you.
Where are you staying now?
I stay inside your heart, Bhagwan.
Okay. Where do I stay?
You stay inside all our hearts.
And what does this signify?
Bhagwan, it means that you and I are one. In fact, the ultimate truth is that you alone exist. All are but your many forms. Ekoham Bahushyam. Bhagwan, you have declared thus in the Vedas.
Oh, how do you know all this?
You only have taught me all this. Yes, my Lord. You alone are my Guru. You are the only true Guru for everyone in the world.
What do you want?
I only want you, Bhagwan. If I have you, I will have supreme bliss. In the Bhagavad Gita, you have said, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Renounce all and take refuge in me alone.
Krish, are your questions answered? Or do you have any doubts still?
No, Bhagwan. Now I know. You alone are the goal of my life. But I do not know how I can reach you. The mundane world is a great distraction.
The mundane material world is also my form. So you have to love and serve everyone to reach me. Live in the world like the lotus, which is born out of muck, but does not even have a speck on it. Let me drive the car of your lives, and you surrender totally, giving up all worries.
Your dream. It's already 10. I have to rush to school. I wonder how this new school will be like. Sri Satya Sai School. Welcome, my dear soulmate, Sai Ram. That was no dream, was it? Every dream in which God appears is a reality. Krish, you know it.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Welcome to the new academic session. Let us start with three omkars. Now, please close your eyes. We are going to have a guided visualization. Imagine Krishna and Arjuna are in the middle of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is full of doubts and questions. But even in the middle of a battlefield, Krishna is full of bliss. He guides Arjuna and clears all his doubts. Now, put yourself in Arjuna's place and listen carefully. Krishna will talk to you. Like to share what Krishna told you?
Teacher, teacher, please let me share.
Of course, my dear Nivedit.
Teacher, Krishna told me that the soul never dies. It's only the body that dies. And I know Krishna said this because I have been so distressed since my father's passing away. Teacher, thank you very much for this guided visualization.
My child, Krishna is always with us and you can talk to him anytime. In the Kali Yuga, Sri Krishna is surely amidst us in the form of Sai Krishna, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, and he is waging a great war against the evils in man with the divine weapon of love. And he says, his students are the Sai Gopalas and Sai Gopikas.
Shanti, shanti, shanti. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Sai Ram.
Mom, Dad, what happened? Why are you both crying?
Krish, my child, Dadu is no more. He died just 10 minutes ago. We got a call.
Dad, do not grieve. The soul never dies. It's only the body that dies.
Krish, how do you know this? Who told you?
Thanks for putting me in Sri Satya Sai School. I have found my soul mate and also my God and Lord.
Krish, you who loved your Dadu so much, we were worried that you would be very upset.
But you are so calm and collected.
And son, you talked about your Lord God. Who is he?
He is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the Kali Yuga Krishna.
Krish, I hope you have not been watching some religious mumbo jumbo on TV. Have you?
Oh God, how do I make you understand? Bhagwan, please forgive me. I do not doubt your existence. But my parents need proof. They are grown-ups. Please, my Lord, do something to convince them that I am telling the truth.
Listen to your son. You are really lucky to have such wonderful, self-realized souls as your children. They will show you the way to reach me. Children like them, my students, alone are my true property, and they shall redeem this world and establish Sai Rajya. Yes, it is indeed true that the child is the father of man.
Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
How did you like that drama, children? Wasn't it fascinating?
And children, I'm sure you also will sometimes look at grown-ups and wonder why they do certain things the way they do it. And maybe you will also tell yourself, when I grow up, I don't want to be like this or do these mistakes.
So if there is anything like that, we would certainly be interested to know. How about you writing to us about that?
And if there is anything else you wish to ask our doctor, you can write that to us too. And as you must be knowing, by now, you have to write to listener@radiosai.org. That is listener at radiosai.org.
So children, till we meet you next week, it's good night and Sai Ram from Prashanthinilam.
Sai Ram children, good night.